Welcome back to the Fox Sports Radio Studios, brought to you by Geico. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to Geico.com 15 minutes ago. Mike North, Mike Carmen, yep. Joe Pinocchio. And Mike, give us your Twitter handle again, my friend.
You follow me over at Swollen Dome. We'll get you your sit starts at SwollenDome.com. Rankings, picks, you name it. We got it.
And NorthTheNorth.com, NORTH2NORTH.com, if you want to twit me, my friends. And now we got a guy that just does a tremendous job on this show and everything else that he does. It is our buddy, our pal, here on Fox Sports Radio. Join us on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Hotline, Todd Furman. How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing all right, gentlemen. How are you guys doing this week?
We're doing good, and a lot of games, a lot of things happening, a lot of after yesterday. I hope you didn't decide to chart the Louisville game longhand. You got writer's cramp today, right? We'll be
there
seeing some.
Let's call it a lack of competitive balance atop the polls yesterday, Mike. With a lot of the games that we saw, Louisville just one of those teams. Miami goes out there and absolutely buries Savannah State. The laundry list goes on and on beyond the top five, and it really makes you wonder, for a sport that I grew up loving in college football, if they need to do something about the competitive balance for these non-conference games.
Yeah, but all the non-conference teams, the smaller schools, they get paid.
You 900 grand some
exactly,
of them got.
Exactly. Follow them on Twitter, at Todd Furman. Watch them on Let It Ride on Fox Sports 1.
Yeah!
And you can find those clips up on FoxSports.com. Todd, we always have been wanting that number two, that second Heisman trophy to go to a guy since Archie Griffin. Has Manziel's odd changed much the last 2 weeks?
Hey, his numbers have fluctuated a bit, but the interesting part was after the loss against Alabama, you saw his number come down when the markets opened up in the middle of the week. He was as high as 15 or 16 to 1. His price came down to about 10 to 1. The interesting part that we keep seeing, though, is all the talk with Teddy Bridgewater, and you have to wonder how Charlie Strong will handle his candidacy as we get later into the season. Does he stay out there to put up numbers? Does that schedule work against him? And will you see somebody from a team in the top five kind of jump over him? Marcus Mariota is the one guy that's picking up a ton of momentum. You could have had him at 16-1 before the year, but coming into yesterday's slate of games, he was among the co-favorites listed at 4-1.
Yeah, I keep hearing people saying that, you know, Manziel, well, they used to say this. They said he was a third-round pick. Then they brought him down to a second-round pick. Now there's a lot of people saying that he may be a middle-round, first-round pick. Here's what I'm telling everybody. Maybe I'm goofy, but if it's between Bridgewater and Manziel and I'm the Cleveland Browns, I'm taking Manziel, period. End of story. I've seen too much. As far as going up against top-flight teams that have 2 weeks to prepare with Nick Saban and just riddling this team. I mean, they lost the game. He made a mistake. But it would be hard for me not to take Manziel if he continues his body of work, Todd, it would be hard for me to ignore him, wouldn't it?
Oh, I think you look at his improvisational skills out there and you hit the nail on the head talking about how hard it is to game plan for a guy like Manziel and the stuff he brings to the table. The problem is with all this, he's only going to fit into a certain system at the next level. So those coaches have to understand if you're looking for a guy to take snaps under center, Johnny may not be the best option. But at the same time, hard to argue with what he brings to the table as far as those intangibles, his will to win, and his ability, his escapability. What would be scary to see if the Eagles traded up to draft a quarterback like that, have him out there running Chip Kelly's offense. You talk about points in bunches, he'd make Michael Vick.
That would be huge.
I want to see whether he pulls an Eli Manning and says, I'll see you in hell. I'm not coming to your town. At Todd Furman on Twitter, your last first 2 weeks of the NFL season, you've got games decided, fewer points than a touchdown, and we got out of the gates with Philadelphia taking a loss, and Mike will give you 10 minutes on Chip Kelly and his derision of him in just a second. But let's look at the slate today, a couple of home dogs, and one that's really interesting on the road. You got Atlanta going to Miami. Atlanta coming into the season, everybody's pumping they got to pump the brakes on them, it would appear. They were one of the Super Bowl favorites. Suddenly the body count very high for the Falcons.
Hey, it's Falcons real banged up, but on the other side, it's not like Miami is a embodiment of health at this point. You talk about Ryan Tannehill nicked up a little bit, Mike Wallace, some players on both the offensive and defensive lines. But when you look at this number, it tells you one thing, that the Dolphins are here and the Dolphins are here to stay. Atlanta, always a tricky transition when they go from playing in the dome, going on to grass, a surface that'll slow them down a little bit. You look at Roddy White, not there in the passing game for today's game. And Atlanta's going to have to try and find a way to put pressure on the quarterback. Defense has been the big concern. And even last week when they built a 3-touchdown lead against the Rams, Mike Smith takes his foot off the gas and allows St. Louis to hang around. if Miami was healthy, I think I could make a strong case for the Dolphins here, especially only laying one. But given their mass unit, that's not much different than Atlanta. A real, real tough game to try and handicap.
Yeah, thanks for really breaking it down and giving us a decisive answer, Todd.
Hey,
he was filibustering. He was filibustering.
That's the best part of an NFL slate. You don't have to have a side or opinion that you walk into the window with on every single game, boys.
Remember the stuttering lawyer and my cousin Vinny? Remember him?
Yeah. You stuttering.
Okay. You know, the stuttering lawyer and my cousin Vinny, basically, Chip Kelly said last week, you know, I didn't know about the injury timeout. I didn't know about this. I didn't know about clock management. He screwed that up. But I'm getting better. You know, can you imagine somebody paying somebody $6 million a year that doesn't know how to manage a clock and doesn't know the rules? And the love this guy still has, Todd. I talked to Artie Clear out there in Philadelphia last night, who's a personality out there. He said basically he ain't going to last 3 years in Philadelphia. If they have some more 3-4 bad stinkers like this and Vic can't find his receivers and he's not accurate, it's going to be hell again like it was last year.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to find the right personnel. I'm not ready to write off Chip Kelly and his ability to implement this offense just yet, but I think what will be fascinating to see when you talk about an active roster of only 53 men, when you get into weeks 11, 12, and 13, it's a lot different than trying to run it with 100-plus bodies that you had on the sidelines at Oregon or going back to his days at New Hampshire. So that'll be the real test, and if the players continue to buy into it. But before we go throwing Chip Kelly under the bus for not knowing the rules, as I recall, there was a Philadelphia Eagles quarterback who didn't remember the overtime rules not too long ago.
Hey,
as well.
he got his number up in the roster.
And most
there,
of Philadelphia didn't care.
Yeah, they kind of dismissed
you
that.
You want to talk
quickly
about an inconsequential number retirement? Oh, my God. I mean, people were just like, all right, they gave him the golf clap, right?
Well, I think the Eagles fans are still more unhappy that they're now stuck with Chase Utley and some of those Philadelphia Phillies that are closer to the retirement home than they are to winning another World Series championship for the city of
Philadelphia. Yeah, but he got hot down the stretch for some fantasy owners. At Todd Furman on Twitter, you see the Let It Ride pieces on Fox Sports 1. We got a couple of huge point spreads that we're looking at today. San Francisco against Indianapolis now with Trent Richardson. I'm not expecting much from Richardson in this game. You've got Seattle laying nearly 3 touchdowns against a banged-up Jacksonville squad. And then you look at Monday night against Denver. We're talking about who's the stud to come out. Is it possible that Seattle just runs it up and that backups finish the second half? Or is this one where the old sentimentality of this guy used to coach here comes into play?
I think when you look at the historical significance, underdogs of this magnitude in the NFL have typically been a good bet. And people go, well, Jacksonville's a terrible team. And the thought process immediately becomes, well, if you're catching 3 touchdowns in the NFL, of course you're not going to be an elite football team as a live underdog there. You do make a good point talking about Pete Carroll's ties to Coach Bradley. As we saw yesterday in college, Nick Saban could care less about running the score up against his former offensive
right
coordinator. And I think Pete Carroll will take a similar mindset if Seattle gets, you know, a 2-touchdown lead, maybe even out to a 21-point lead. That back door will stay open. San Francisco, though, a much different scenario. When you talk about the Niners under Coach Harbaugh, 5-1-1 against the number coming off a straight-up loss, 7-0 in those games, the average margin of victory, 17 points. Now, I know San Francisco's defense isn't 100%, but Trent Richardson will help. He won't help the Colts this week. I think you look to lay the lumber with San Francisco as they make a statement. And the Monday night game, that price is already out to 14.5. The big concern I have for Denver, another major loss on that offensive line to Ryan Clady at left tackle. I think you look at Oakland for the first half because Denver has been an ATS machine in the second half. If Oakland's not inside of 7.5 to 8, where that number sits after the first 30 minutes, they won't cover 2 touchdowns plus for the game.
All right, real quick, Todd. You know, Mike Tomlin, I think if they even go 0-3, Pittsburgh, I don't believe he'll be on the hot seat. I think the Rooneys and their organization seems to know what they got there. I think that Roethlisberger and Haley, I think that's still a work in progress, but I don't think there's a big firefight there yet. I just think they've lost some talent and things. They've gotten old, and the league has caught up to them a little bit. What's your take?
I think when you look at this game, this is always tricky from a power number standpoint to what you've actually seen on the field. Before the year, Pittsburgh would have been a 3.5-point favorite against the Bears in this game. 2 performances later, you see the Steelers now with a home underdog. This number was as high as 2.5. You could add Pittsburgh and even bottom up to 3. I'm still a little skeptical on the Bears. I think they're going to be good this year, but it's not like they've lit the world on fire with a 3-point win against the Bengals. They needed a Herculean-type effort late to beat the Vikings. So you're talking about 2 wins by a grand total of 4 points. I'll need them to prove it to me here. I don't think Pittsburgh is dead yet, although they have one foot in the grave. I look for the Steelers to hold serve at home and find a way to win this game outright as a short home underdog.
All right, Todd. How does everybody get a hold of you again, my friend?
Can always find me on Twitter. I'm more than happy to answer any questions about games we can't get to during the weekly segment. That's just Todd Furman. And if you're looking for more in-depth information from the sports gambling world, you can find us at DonBestAdvantage.com. Plenty of picks, videos, and power ratings from all the leaders within the sports betting field.
All right. Thanks, Todd. We appreciate it so much. Thanks for joining us on Fox Fantasy, my friend.
Always a pleasure, guys. Good luck today.
See you, Todd.
All right. Dad, we will talk about some games when we come back here on Fox Sports Radio. It is Mike Harmon, Joe Pinacchio, Mike North. Hey, we'll pick some games, and, hey, we'll get your fantasy calls up next.